Eric Evans song?
What song should we? Which song should we?
What song do we both know? That's the interesting question.
Hold me closer, Tony Danza. Spread your headlights on the highway. Wrap me up in sheets of linen. Hold me closer, Tony Danza.
There we go. That's it.
Welcome to Brain Sandwich, the podcast that caresses your soul and tickles your booty.
So, this is our second episode back from season one.
Which now makes this season two.
Yeah, this is episode two of season two of series two of
Brain Sandwich. We're taking a number two.
Yeah, this is Brain Sandwich 2 edition. We're just pinching out new lows. We're just pinching out new episodes like
turds.
Like a dog at a park.
It doesn't help that I've been drinking, because now I'm going to find everything funny.
Yeah, that's just great.
Pinching out episodes.
Jimmy crack corn.
Jimmy crack corn. Corn in my butthole.
And I do care.
Oh, this is going to be a horrible episode.
Oh, by the way, also, I'm Justin.
I'm Tommy.
Yeah. Thanks for listeners out there. We love you all so dear and deeply.
Groovy.
Groovy, baby.
Already, I caught my pencil. I caught it.
We're, what, 2 minutes and 20 seconds shut in up. And you've already shut dropped
up.
Your pencil once?
Shut up.
You didn't drop it last episode, though.
I picked it.
You still dropped it, though. Did it fall from your hands?
It did.
Then you dropped it.
But I caught it in my knees.
No, you still dropped it.
All right.
You still dropped it.
Still dropped it.
But you did good last episode. You didn't drop... It wasn't until the very end of the episode when we stopped recording that you dropped your book.
And I picked it up without any problems. Did I drop my book?
Yeah, you did.
I was so drunk I didn't even realize.
So, usually... For season two, we're kind of changing it up for the way that we start the shows. Season one, we used to do Word of the Day. That was usually
word
our first. Word of the Day. That was our.
I'm not necessarily saying that we'll get rid of it entirely. I'm thinking like maybe like five episodes in. We'll
do
a throwback
word.
We're just
going to try something new. So there's a podcast that I listen to, and I know some people out there would consider this basically just stealing their idea. But we're not making the whole podcast.
We're a bunch of plagiarizing motherfuckers.
Our whole episode isn't going to be derived in the same concept of their show is. If anybody out there has ever listened to Bim Bam or My Brother and Me, it's a great podcast. Three brothers, basically it's their advice show. And what they do is they either get people to ask them questions or they'll have people find funny questions on YouTube answers. And I thought,
you mean Yahoo Answers
or Yahoo Answers? Did I say YouTube Answers?
Yeah, you did. Yeah, you did.
But who uses Yahoo?
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 Oh my God, that's gonna be the next big internet thing. Yahoo.
Yeah.
Yahoo.
Yeah. But yeah, they get Yahoo Answers that are just bizarre and try to answer them seriously, and they build their whole show around this. And it's really funny. Go check them out for sure. But I thought for just a small little segment to kind of loosen everything up, we might do one like that where I have four questions. I don't know if we'll get all of them. Maybe we'll just do one.
That's honestly like really, we should just make season two. Like we had a thing that was going really good in season one and it worked. And now we're evolving and moving past that. Let's just make every episode a random piece of shit.
Yeah, no, that's fun.
And by piece of shit, I mean awesome.
So, are you ready for question one?
This is interesting because before, I was the guy who posed the words, and now you're posing the... Oh my God!
It's flippy floppy. Are you ready for the first question from Yahoo Answers?
I'm so ready.
Okay. So, the way Yahoo Answers works, some people, if they post questions, it'll be under their account. Or username. Some you can just do it anonymously. So this first one was anonymous.
And, oh, so it's gonna be dirty.
Well, no, not necessarily
dirty.
But I'm reading this exactly how it was written.
Okay.
Because that's what happens sometimes with Yahoo Answers. Is people their English isn't very good, so they're. Yeah, it's funny. So this is a question one presented by Anonymous. Mm. In United States, why women is allowed to choosing her husband?
Is that the entirety of the question?
That's what he wants to know, is why women is allowed choosing her husband.
So I think for this, I'm going to have to like dig back for the olden days and that, you know, arranged marriages. Mm-hmm. They were once a thing.
Were they ever like, I know back in like medieval times.
Like how you did like a little, yeah, hobby, like medieval little, times.
I did a little boop. Back then, I know it was more common in regards to like royalty or the upper class that they did a lot of arranged marriage, even in Europe and stuff. But was it even common just for the average folk? Like,
as far as North America, I don't know. Like, I'd have to do some research, but I kind of just find in the U.S. or in Canada, I guess, it's like if you just found somebody that you like, you gone on and married that bitch.
Well,
some people are probably going to find that offensive.
Well, yeah.
I'm drunk.
Suck it up. Well, because in some obviously in some countries, it's still a thing. And I think in India, they still do it pretty frequently, right?
Oh, yeah.
And I know there's an argument out there for some people that it's okay. Me personally, it's not that I'm totally against arranged marriage. Like, it's not like I'm going to look down upon you, because if you end up having an arranged marriage and down the road it ends up working, you fall in love with the person, hey, whatever. I still stand by the classic, like, finding someone that you choose and you fall in love with.
I think that probably the reason it seems to coincidentally work out so well is because the reality is that in those sorts of circumstances, your parents are much more mature and kind of forward thinking than you. Well, and maybe it's a different culture too. So like, obviously everybody's like, oh, North American parents are like, oh, they're so stupid. They think this, meh.
I'll play devil's advocate for this. Again, I don't necessarily agree with arranged marriages, but think about, and I know we've talked about this on another episode, think about the amount of people that we know that quote unquote fall in love and then just get divorced a year or two later or 3 or 4 years later.
We've talked about this before, about the number of people that are our age, younger, slightly older, who have been like, I know so many divorced couples in our age group that is just ridiculous.
Or also think about even when we were younger, the amount of people that were like not caring about a future and they were just getting knocked up or knocking somebody up and not being an adult about it and like
running away from their problems.
Yeah. In a certain aspect, I guess arranged marriage could be considered more mature.
Some type of security almost.
Yeah. Yeah. A little bit more secure. I don't know. Again, I don't necessarily agree with it.
Like, people pre-25 are pretty stupid. Let's be honest. I mean, that's not always the case, obviously.
Well, we were geniuses, obviously.
Oh my god, we were smart.
We are, totally.
I was gonna get married at 19. I was living large.
Yeah, like, I know you know a lot more people than I do, but have you ever talked to anybody that did have an arranged marriage? Because I knew.
Not like specifically or officially arranged, but I've known people that like it was sort of the North American equivalent of arranged.
Like, basically, oh, like,
we're friends with this family and these people grew up together, so we're gonna try and push them together.
They kind of push them in that direction.
Yeah, so like, essentially the Caucasian version of arranged marriages.
The polite Canadian way.
Yeah.
Like, oh yeah, just like go over and hang out with them.
Oh,
a lot.
Yeah.
Okay. They're pretty, pretty, eh?
Pretty, pretty, eh?
So, yeah, that's, I didn't read some of the answers for it, though. Obviously, there's probably a lot of, like, pretty racist answers, probably. But again, if that's your culture and that's what you're used to, I'm assuming from their perspective, for somebody who's been brought up in that type of upbringing, that's so normal to them that the way we do it is really odd.
Well, it's traditional, and people stick to traditions and cultures, and it's just the way people form and, you know,
Yeah, exactly. Do you feel like another question?
Sure. Why not? Arranged marriages. That's a great topic to just lead off on. Very strong.
So this one's a little bit more light.
Ooh, I like light.
Like your light beer.
MGD.
This one did have a person attached to it. This username was called Gangster Ghost.
Oh, he's such a gangster. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And a ghost.
And it's a simple one. It says, Christians, could atheists be vampires?
You really dug deep for this one. No, I didn't.
These were all on the front page. Again, I'll repeat it. Christians, can atheists be vampires?
Okay, so
let's unpack that.
I was gonna say, you know, that's really fucking scary. Oops. Because I was gonna say we should unpack this one a bit, but yeah, okay. So Christians, you and I, we both come from very Christian, specifically Catholic upbringings.
Yeah, we were around it a lot, both in elementary school and high school.
As far as atheists, are they vampires?
Because atheists are the ones that don't believe in any type of religion, right?
Right. They believe in no God, no higher
being. But agnostics are the ones that don't believe in any particular religion, but they're open to the idea. Okay.
Hot Fuzz.
Yeah, that's where I remember it from. That's where I learned all my religious things from, is Hot Fuzz.
Heathens. Peas and rice.
So, to me, are atheists vampires?
I mean, they're pretty soulless.
It's true. What about if there was a...
By the way, for those of you who are just tuning into this season of Brain Sandwich,
yeah.
Anything we say, please don't take offense to it because we're just having fun.
And if you do take offense to it...
Go f*** yourself.
Yeah, you beat me to it. I think there was a time when I would consider myself an atheist. So for that short period of time, was I a vampire? Wait, let's unpack this. I don't like outside because I get burned really easily.
You're really white.
Yes. I have a ginger beard. So what? That means...
Are vampires gingers?
No, but you said soulless. Oh, my God.
Oh, my God.
I stay up really late.
That's right. You sleep through the day.
I sleep in a dark room. I don't like much light. I have to wear sunglasses all the time because my eyes are really sensitive.
Smile for a second. Do you have sharp teeth? No, no. Away from the microphone. They're pretty daggery.
Yeah, I think...
You're a vampire.
Oh, my God. I might be a vampire.
You might be a vampire.
Jeez.
Oh, my God.
I have to wear a lot of sunscreen if I go outside.
Do you sparkle outside?
No. I'm not one of those vampires. I don't wear a lot of black, though. I'm not afraid of crosses or garlic.
I like garlic.
Yeah. So
crosses, I'm just like, it's okay.
But could other atheists be vampires?
Yes, because they are quite soulless.
That is true. And I do have a reflection, though.
I mean, if I think of like people like Bill Maher.
Yeah.
Not necessarily because he's an atheist, but he's a soulless dink is what he is.
Mm. Good choice of word, dink.
Soulless dink.
What a weenie face. Yeah, I guess they could be vampires.
We're probably going to offend a lot of people with this episode.
Screw it. Actually, we'll do the next two because they're simple ones too. This was in the health. Yeah, this was in the health section. So this is why it caught my eye. This was by username Danny. Thank you, Danny. And it's a very simple one also. It just says, does soup exist?
Does soup exist?
Now, a couple things I can think about with this. If we were in the Matrix.
Oh.
Mm-hmm. Mm. See what I'm saying? Does soup technically exist?
Well, see, in the Matrix... If we go back to Cypher's time with Agent Smith, he's having a steak.
Yes.
Very lovely steak.
Delicious steak.
But that steak wasn't really there.
No.
My God.
Because it was a bunch of ones and zeros, right?
Oh, my God. Binary steak.
Wait. If you break down soup in our perspective, it's just a bunch of molecules, right?
Oh, my God.
Ones and zeros.
Obviously.
Boom. Matrix exists. Cypher was right.
Mind blown. Next question.
Okay. Yeah, like we're just knocking these out of the park like crazy. So to repeat that, does soup exist?
Does Zeus exist?
Maybe. Is Zeus a vampire? I don't know. Okay.
Do Zeus vampires, atheists exist?
So yeah, that was a simple one. One and done. There you go. And our last and final question is by username IDK. I'm assuming that means I don't know. Now, the reason...
Don't assume.
Yeah. The reason I picked this one is because... And I'm actually kind of seeing some repeats here. We got a religious one. We got two religious ones. And then one that's also about somewhat religion. This is the question. Is it disrespectful to play hide and seek in a cemetery? Now... Another reason I picked this one is because when I was a kid, I lived next to a cemetery. We used to play hide and seek in a cemetery. And I think as I've gotten older, to a lot of people, I think it would be very disrespectful.
Right.
But then if you don't really believe in that kind of stuff, you are just...
That kind of stuff. That is the most vague thing I've ever heard.
Like, in regards to...
Spirits and
oogity boogities and stuff.
Oogity boogity.
It is literally just a place where people bury things. If you think about it. I know that's really, like, cold. But... it's mind you, again, the cemetery that I live next to, I don't have any... Well... At the time when we used to play, like manhunt or hide and seek
classic
in the cemetery, yeah, I didn't have any relatives that were buried in said cemetery, and I was younger, so I didn't care. It was creepy. Now though, as I've gotten older, yeah, it's pretty disrespectful.
Yeah, oh yeah,
yeah. Like you're not necessarily. It's because you're running on somebody's grave. Eh. It's the fact that you're using someone's grave as a hiding spot. And also, if depending on the cemetery, like if you're just in a small little country cemetery, there's no lights on anywhere. It's kind of dangerous, too.
Just run into a gravestone.
Yeah. And also, like, if you're running and there's a freshly dug grave, not like whole, but like even just freshly buried grave.
Oh yeah, you can
see the ground is so soft that you'll like lose your footing and maybe roll an ankle.
And that's because knowledge is power.
Have you ever played hide and seek or manhunt in a cemetery?
Actually no, I don't think I have.
No? Have you done anything mischievous in a cemetery?
No. Not even remotely. I was always, I mean, partially, part of that was...
But you don't really have any cemeteries around.
Yeah, I mean, it's like some of that was being raised Catholic. You were kind of always taught that if you desecrated a cemetery, it was like, you're going to hell. And then the other part of that was like, it's just kind of rude. I mean, it's very common sense to not desecrate the deceased remains, as it were.
Yeah, it's not like I'm not... gonna be a 29-year-old now running around going, hey, let's go play hide and seek in this dead cemetery.
You want to do that tomorrow?
Yeah, let's do it. Anybody want to come with us?
Anybody who's listening, we're gonna have a cemetery party in Ontario.
Now, okay, here's the question though.
Oh my god,
is it disrespectful? Is it okay, we've agreed that it is disrespectful to play hide and go seek in a cemetery. Is it
why? Before we get to that, make note of the question you're asked.
Okay.
Why is it disrespectful? And I'm not saying I disagree or agree.
Yeah.
Like, is it the spiritual aspect? Is it...
I think it's maybe just because you're making light of
death?
Of someone's loved ones just being underneath your feet. Like, you're not being like... someone's buried here that someone loved
at one time
and stuff like that. You're just kind of throwing that to the wind and going,
yeah, because I'm like, is the respect that you convey to somebody based on who they were as a person? Because in my thought I'm like,
they're not a person anymore.
Not necessarily in my thought, but I'm thinking of like a body is, I've always had the opinion that a body is a body. I've never been one to.
Would you also hold the opinion to let the bodies hit the floor? Let the bodies hit the floor.
Wow. You really went there, didn't you?
Was I too serious? Did maybe some people not get that reference? There's a, is it Rob Zombie?
Yeah,
it's a Rob.
No, it's
let the bodies hit the floor.
Drowning Pool.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Sorry.
That's a reference that nobody listening to this is going to get.
Especially because I said it so just like dry. Anyways, you were saying.
Let the bodies hit the floor. But yeah.
Did you lose your train of thought?
Totally.
Okay, well, I'll go back to my thing then. So we've established that maybe...
Is it a spiritual thing or is it a memory thing?
Well, to me personally, it is just... I think it's more in regards to...
Human decency?
The loved ones of the deceased. Like, I'm under the assumption that when you die, either if you're cremated or just buried, that you... I don't believe necessarily in heaven... Or hell or whatever. I believe that your body will just disintegrate, rot, turn into fuel for the earth, if you want to get hippie about it. So I don't necessarily like, yeah, there is definitely a part of it being disrespectful to the dead person, but to me personally, I would feel more disrespectful to the loved ones of that deceased individual because they're still alive. If they found out that you were running around on their dead loved one's grave, it would, to me, unless ghouls and goblins were real and like ghosts were real, and then like I would wake up one day and there's a ghost over my bed going, "You ran on my grave," then I'd be like, "Okay, I'm sorry." But until that day,
you're only sorry because you got caught in the ghoul, basically. And the ghoul's like haunting you.
But yeah, I would feel disrespectful towards the loved ones.
Okay. I mean, I gotta be honest, like if somebody like
how would you feel?
Well, if I found out that somebody was like, so if I think of the people that I actually know who have died, who I had relationships with, like cousins, you know, okay, here's a perfect example. I have a nephew who passed away at a very young age. If I found somebody was dancing on his grave, I'd probably kill them.
Well, okay, dancing on the grave. That's a little different than just kind of like nonchalantly running by the grave.
Oh, like just straight up running?
Yeah.
I mean, kids will be kids.
Kids are dumb. That's where it gets you with the age thing. If it was like a young kid.
Now, if they were
kid,
tipping gravestones, oh, somebody gets shot.
Yeah, no, that's straight up.
If you're a gravestone tipper, you should
disgusting.
Die.
Yeah.
And not be buried in a cemetery.
Yeah, exactly. You should just be shot into space.
Well, this episode has really devolved.
Yeah. But to me, oh, I forget what I was going to say. It also, I think, matters to the age of the person that's doing it. Like, if it's some 10 or 12 year old, they honestly don't know better.
No. Like, oh, absolutely.
But if it was somebody our age doing it, yeah, they'd be getting a beating.
A beating. I'd beat you.
But also, okay, so here's my original, my second question. So we've established that it's disrespectful to play hide and go seek in a cemetery. But what happens if, like, you're just hanging out in a cemetery? Not necessarily doing any mischief or anything like that. But you're just kind of, maybe you and a couple friends are just kind of sitting under a tree in a cemetery. Just kind of not necessarily there to see anybody at the cemetery. But just kind of hanging and just shooting the shit. Would that be disrespectful?
Just hanging and shooting the shit. I mean,
maybe walking through the cemetery, looking at the gravestones, but not because...
How many times have we just walked through the cemetery, though?
I've done that when I was younger.
Like, we've done that quite often, just ourselves. Like,
yeah.
Oh, I took my niece geocaching in a cemetery once.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
But mind you, it's like the geocaches they have in cemeteries are usually... They're not
on
near,
a path.
Yeah, or, they're on a path or near a tree. They're not on gravestone.
Not like
dig up old John Gertrude.
Go to John Smith's grave, dig 3 feet down, and
and uncover a chameleon.
And then ungrasp his hand.
Well, you took a little far.
No.
I mean, it could be a thing. That's treasure hunting.
That's real treasure hunting.
Treasure hunting.
Yeah, because, like, I don't know. I think that I've, because I've lived so long beside a cemetery, I do respect cemeteries a lot more than probably the average person does. Because, like, not that I've seen stuff happen in a cemetery.
I've seen some shit.
The stuff has happened in that cemetery.
Oh, don't go on and get all weird on me now.
Well, no ghosts or anything like that.
You've been seeing ghosts, boy.
No, and that's why I'm a pretty staunch not believer in ghosts, because if anything... Because
if you've been around a cemetery and you haven't seen bodies.
Yeah, if I've been around a cemetery for almost 30 years and I haven't seen a ghost, I'm pretty sure they don't exist. Like, okay? But creepy things have happened, but they've all been explained. One, we could go a little... Should we go dark?
Go for it.
When I was like 10 or 11-ish, around that age, a guy committed suicide in the cemetery.
I told you.
I forewarned you. And then, like, I think it was only maybe a couple years after that. It was like 2 in the morning in the summer night. My dad and I, because we're both night owls, I was probably like 13 or 14, just sitting there watching TV, and all the windows were open because it was nice and cool out. And
of course.
All of a noises. Sudden, yeah, all of a sudden we hear like crying, and then it was getting loud, and it was like then turned into wailing, like, oh my God. And we're like, what the hell is that? And we couldn't see anything because it was obviously pitch black, and we live in the country, so it's... But all we could hear coming from the cemetery was a lady crying and wailing at a grave. And then we figured out that, like, 2 days before, I think a young person was buried. So I think somebody maybe had a little too much to drink and got a little emotional. And then the only other thing that's ever happened was a couple kids stole a car and got a little buck wild and ran into the big cemetery sign and then ditched the car and ran off.
Really?
Yeah. The car was still running. The radio was blaring. The door was open.
Stupid.
I was young. I was only like maybe 14-ish. And it was the middle of the night and my dad came running out. And it was kind of funny, see, because you know my dad. He was like freaking out. Like he called the police. He was all nervous and stuff. And I was like, oh no, it was just a couple kids. Like they just took off. Like whatever.
You being the kid, you're like, oh no, it's just some crazy coach
a couple idiot kids. Have you ever had any creepy like experiences? Not necessarily in cemetery, but just in general.
No.
No.
None whatsoever.
The only other thing that spooked me out once, because all those other things didn't really spook me out because they all were immediately explained.
Right.
There was only one other time I was up visiting my aunt up in Smith Falls and we were staying over and my brother and me, we were just sleeping on the couches in the living room. And I'm not comfortable sleeping not in a bed.
Right.
I have a hard time getting to sleep. I wish I was one of those people that could literally just sleep anywhere.
Sleep on the floor.
Oh, it'd be great.
I used to be like that.
Yeah. So I'm laying there. It's like the middle of the night. Everybody's sound asleep. And it's an open kind of living room. So we can see the dining room and in the living room. And I could hear things in the kitchen and like footsteps. And I know because there's only one way into the kitchen. Nobody got up to go into the kitchen. And I'm wide awake and I'm like, I must've been like 10. So I was like,
so you're freaking out.
Oh my God. And so I heard footsteps and stuff and like stuff being moved around on the counters. And then I heard a bottle of pop being opened. Yeah. Like the tsk. And I was like, okay, I'm out of here. And I just got up. I closed my one eye so I couldn't see into the kitchen. And I was like, Adam was sound asleep because he's one of those guys that can just sleep by him, just sleep anywhere. So I was like, you're on your own. And I went into where my mom and dad were sleeping. And I was like, can I sleep with you guys? And they're like, why? And I'm like, I just can't get to sleep. And And I was like, I couldn't do it. And
pansy.
But it was weird because like it's not some old rickety old scary house or anything like that. It was a house from the 70s or whatever, and they built the house.
70s house, man. That disco nobody, shit is but scary.
Nobody's died in the house or anything like that.
James Brown.
And so that freaked me out. But again, I don't think it was a ghost. If anything, it was probably just like
you don't think it was a ghost. Of course it wasn't a ghost.
I think it probably was just like a mouse or something.
Do you believe in ghosts?
No, I already said that earlier in the podcast.
I wasn't paying attention.
I don't believe in ghosts. I don't believe in Bigfoot. I believe in aliens, but I don't think we'll ever see them.
See, I don't believe in ghosts, Bigfoot, or aliens.
Yeah, I don't believe in Loch Ness Monster. I don't believe in the Yeti. I don't believe in any of that stuff.
I pretty much believe in no superstition whatsoever.
Yeah, I don't believe in, like, the boogie monster or anything. Like, obviously, when I was a kid, I was afraid of the dark and whatever. You know, typical kid stuff. Had a nightlight, stuff like that. Now I have to sleep in the pitch black. Like, I can't sleep with lights on.
Because you're a vampire.
Exactly.
Full circle.
Yeah, full circle. How long have you been going for? Oh, only 30. About a half hour. So, do you have any superstitions, though? Like, because...
I don't have superstitions. What I have is obsessive compulsions.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know if I've ever told you, but I have an issue with... telephones when I enter a room, if I know I'm going to the telephone, I can't look at it until I'm right directly over top of it.
See, that's interesting.
I don't know why, but for some reason, for instance, if I leave my phone in my room in the morning and I come back in the afternoon, I'm like, oh, I'm gonna check my texts. I can't look at my phone when I enter the door to my room.
When you're walking towards it,
I have to look at the floor and walk towards my phone, then pick it up and check it.
You're scared of phones?
I'm not scared of it. There's no fear of it. I just can't look at the damn thing. Can't do drive-thrus. As you know, I don't, you know, I'm a Canadian. Don't do the Tim Hortons thing.
Oh, yeah. Well,
I have to walk in every time.
I just do that because I think drive-thrus are stupid.
I think they're stupid, but at the same time, like, what's going on?
Yeah, yeah. I'm just trying to think of things that I do. I'm more of a routine guy, though. I get that from my dad. Like, when I brush my teeth, I brush my teeth the same way every single time. I do it in the same order. I
think most people do to some degree.
I always either put my hand on my hip or in my pocket if I'm wearing pants that have pockets while brushing my teeth. I didn't realize that until just a couple of years ago. And now I notice it. Like, I put my face cloth in the same place. I do the same thing every routine. I don't think there's any... I have tics. Like, when you'll see me sometimes, I'll like rub my chin with my finger.
Yep.
Or an edge of my shirt. And that derived from when I was a kid. I had a blanket. And I had the corner of a blanket that I would rub on my chin. And I still do that occasionally. I don't do that a lot. I really like, this is an anxiety thing. I really work my hands a lot. Like, I really, how would you describe that? Like, just twist them and crunch, like knead them, I guess.
Like dough.
Yeah. Like I grab, and, that's just an anxiety thing. Yeah, but I don't really have any, I would necessarily call OCD things.
I have some pretty uncontrollable tics. The phone thing is probably one of the biggest ones. It used to be washing my hands when I was a kid, and I've since through a lot of work, got over the, you know, 80 to 100 times a day I would have to run my hands underwater.
Yeah, for me, like, I am kind of a clean freak, but I don't, like, have to wash my hands every 10 minutes or whatever.
I wasn't even a clean freak. I was just, it was literally just a compulsion that took place. Like, it didn't increase or decrease. Like, well, you know, I worked as an accountant handling dirty money.
Didn't bother you?
That didn't change that at all. It's just something like over time I realized, like, oh, I wash my hands 60 to 80 times a day. It's like, oh, my fingers start to bleed.
Yeah. Basically all my stuff is like, I also chew like the inside of my lip. I guess that is an anxiety. I didn't learn that. Like, I always knew that I did it, but I didn't learn that until just a couple months ago when I was watching something on YouTube where somebody was making this video, like a day in the life of somebody with anxiety.
Right.
And they said like chewing the inside of your lip. And I was like, oh, I didn't even know that was a thing. I didn't really like the video though, because it was like, and I know this is going to sound kind of like, I don't know what everybody does nowadays, but being somebody that does have anxiety, and I was late diagnosed, like I wasn't diagnosed with anxiety until just like two or three years ago, but I've had it for as long as I can remember. It's just, I didn't know what it was. Watching this particular video, it didn't necessarily glorify it, but it was like, it was produced the heck out of, like, it was very like typical YouTuber style, like the, and I know this is not her fault.
Doing it for the clicks.
Basically, like, she was very pretty and like very polished video. Very like, it didn't feel like it was from the heart.
Right.
Like, if I were to do a video like that, I would literally just be like, try to sit down and explain face to face to the camera and be like, this is what it's like.
Right.
Your brain just won't stop all day. It just questioning everything that you do. You quiet yourself off into a corner and you just don't want to talk to anybody. You don't want to feel anything. Your heart's racing. You feel like you're going to be sick, stuff like that. So I watched about 3 or 4 minutes of it. I was like, I can't watch this. This is not, it almost felt like, you know, those people out there that are like, oh, I'm so OCD. And then they tell you something that they're OCD about and you're like, no, you're not.
Yeah.
It's, and I've met people like that, that are like, oh, I have such high anxiety. And then they say like 2 or 3 things. I'm like, you don't understand what anxiety is.
Yeah. I had that problem. I was having a conversation with one of my ex interns at the last company I worked with about a boss we had who was constantly going on about every time a bad situation came up, he would go, oh, I'm so depressed or I'm so down about this. And then yeah. I was like, it really, I'm not like a woe is me, it's all about me. But as when somebody just, you know, out of the blue says, oh, I'm so depressed because things didn't go their way the yeah. day. It's like, no, you're not. It's like, you're really far reaching here. It's like, there's people that, you know, have it way worse than you do. And you're just being a little bitch.
Yeah. And like, even when I talk about my anxiety, it's, I guarantee you there's people out there that are probably thinking the same thing about me. Like, I know personally people that have way more severe anxiety than even I do. And mine's pretty severe. Like, it was so severe, I had to leave my old job.
Right.
And there was a couple times where I almost passed out because I was having an anxiety attack because I couldn't breathe. I was getting dizzy. Luckily I was standing beside a car and I fell onto the car. And there's been some scary times when I was like driving on the 401, which is like a major highway in Canada. And I was having an anxiety attack while driving on the 401 where my whole front of my body went numb and I couldn't feel it. My like fingers were twitching all over the place that I couldn't control. And luckily the person who I was driving with, she also has anxiety, issues too, and she understood, and she's like, no, you got to pull over, just take a minute and breathe. And so I do think that we're living in a world now that it's becoming not necessarily more open about anxiety, but people are becoming a little bit more understanding in regards to it.
Right.
Because pretty much I guarantee everybody that's listening either knows somebody who has anxiety issues.
Drop my pencil.
I felt that go thump thump on the ground. Either knows somebody who has anxiety issues or personally is dealing with anxiety or depression. And they understand that it's not a joking matter. Like, it can, in because even just as soon as like 10 years ago, everybody was just like, oh, if you have anxiety, just don't talk about it.
Well, just, even as soon as 5 years ago, it was still like an issue, or if somebody had anxiety attacks or depression or something, it's like, oh, get over it.
Yeah. And I still do meet some people like that, that just don't understand.
It's really unfortunate when you meet people nowadays that are like that.
Yeah. And I do kind of sometimes, like, if I talk to people and they're like, oh, I heard you left EB. Why'd you hear? And most of the time I'm extremely open about it. Like, I'll say, oh, well, this happened, blah, 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 blah. But I usually judge, not judge, but I kind of But no, it's I kind of figure out who the person is that I'm talking to, if they'll understand it. And if I look at them and I'm like, oh, you're not going to understand what I'm talking about, then I'll just be like, oh, just some, you know, work stuff.
Bullshit.
Some bullshit. Because I have talked to people who were relatively new to anxiety, and I'm totally comfortable if people want to ask me questions or anything like that. I'm an open book when it comes to it, because I'm not necessarily ashamed. I'm actually relieved that I finally know what all my issues were when I was younger. Like, now it all makes sense. That's the thing. And that was the biggest relief, was just understanding why I had these things happen to me when I was younger. And because back then, the doctor didn't... When you're a 12-year-old or 10 or 11-year-old, you don't understand how to explain it to a doctor. So I went through these bunch of tests that they couldn't figure out what was wrong with me. And so they were just like, I don't know. And so I went for...
You worry too much.
Yeah, I worry too much or whatever. So I went 15 years basically not knowing what the issue was. And then it wasn't until actually my old boss was like, no, dude, you have anxiety because you're explaining exactly what happens to me. And I was like, what? And then so I went to the doctor and I explained it in more detail. And they're like, oh, no, that's what you have. So if it wasn't for him, I still would be in the dark about it. I still wouldn't know. I probably wouldn't talk about it, anything like that. So it just takes one person. Yeah. This got like deep, bro.
A little bit.
Yeah, yeah. But if you're out there and you're struggling with some stuff, just find somebody to talk to. I guarantee you there's somebody out there to talk to.
They have a number of free services that you can call. It's like the resources are infinite at this point.
You just got to search them out. That's the problem.
Yeah, and a lot of people just aren't. And unfortunately, it seems like a lot of the people that many people are struggling with these issues are dealing with, the people that they deal with on a day-to-day basis just don't get it.
Yeah.
Like even the most understanding of people still are very...
They just don't think it's a big deal.
There's a stigma associated with these things, and I don't get it.
Oh, I remember the one time I was having an extremely bad anxiety attack at work. So much so that when all the customers left, I shut down the store. But while it was happening, I was dealing with a customer. And what happens with me is that, like, I can't speak. I want to be left alone. I feel like I'm going to be sick. And so I told the, I was putting a customer through, and I said, I'm sorry. I think I'm having an anxiety attack and not feeling too great. And the first thing she says to me is, well, you better not throw up on my game. And I'm like, Jesus Christ. So I just quickly got her through, and then there was one customer left, and he was one of the sweetest people I've ever met. He's just, I said to him, I'm sorry, I'm having an anxiety attack right now, and he's like, oh man, I'll leave, it's okay, I can come back later. He's like, I know what it's like, just take a minute, take all the time you need, I'll come back, and don't worry about it. I was like, okay, thanks. So I locked down the store, waited for the person to cover for me that came in. The next day I wasn't working anyways, but supposedly that guy came back in to ask how I was.
Mm.
And I'm like, see, there are good people out there.
There are
good people. You just kind of have to weigh through the shitty people because there's a lot of shitty people out there. But yeah, like it sucks, but hey, it's livable. It's just, it can be annoying sometimes, but, yeah, let's try and lighten this up, dude.
Yeah, I don't really know what, like, where to go from.
How do we segue from here? Let's try and segue from here. So yeah, I watched the Lego Batman movie.
Oh, sweet.
You watched it, right?
No.
Oh, you haven't watched it yet?
I've watched the Lego movie.
Oh, yeah.
It's a bit of a far stretch.
Did you like the Lego movie?
I mean, it was different.
Yeah.
What a very safe statement. It was different.
It was a movie.
It was a film.
I would highly recommend the Lego Batman movie, though.
I probably will watch it. Like I think I told you, it's like it's something I'm going to have to watch with my nephew.
Yeah. No, but you'll still enjoy it, though. Like, it's friggin' hilarious. They reference pretty much every Batman.
Ever. Is it Arnett? Okay.
It's still him. So it's in the Lego movie universe.
Oh my God.
The LMCU.
Lego Movie Cinematic Universe.
Yeah, Lego Movie Cinematic Universe. But they basically reference all the Batman movies. even the crappy ones. It's funny. It's bright, colorful. Val Kilmer.
George Clooney.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, they mention it. Even like the old...
Put it on my Batcard.
Batcard.
Swear to me.
How did the dinosaurs die? The Ice Age. Or no, what killed the dinosaurs? The Ice Age.
You will freeze.
Oh, God. out of all the... out of the shitty Batman movies.
So, all of them?
Yeah, well... I don't think they're all shitty.
I do.
Out of all the shitty ones, what do you think is the most rewatchable? Not necessarily the best movie, but the most rewatchable.
Honestly, I can't watch the Michael Keaton Batman movies.
Yeah?
They're just too dated.
Yeah.
I could probably watch the Val Kilmer Batman for the nostalgia factor.
Yeah.
And just the way that they changed everything up. Like... I don't know. There was something about Joel Schumacher's style that, like, the colors and stuff, it was very visually appealing at the time.
Yeah.
George Clooney one, can't watch it. It's unbearable. And then as far as, like, the Christian Bale ones, like, cinematically great movies.
Yeah.
I could watch any one of them, pretty much.
Now, we were talking about this the other day, a couple friends of mine, about the Schumacher Batmans. And I'm totally
nipples.
Fine. Yeah, I'm totally fine with admitting that the Clooney Batman movies are horrible. But as a kid, and I still think a little bit to this day, you know the second outfits that they get into when they're fighting Mr. Freeze at the end of the movie, where it's like they have gray highlights on them and
the silver, yeah.
I did think they were badass when I was a kid.
They look pretty cool.
And you know what? They still look pretty cool today. Yeah, bat nips and bat butts. There was a lot of those. and I just don't know. Like, I think Clooney could have been a good Batman.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Like, actor-wise and, like, honestly, yeah.
And I think me...
The writing was terrible, though.
Out of the, let's call them the 90s era Batman's movies. I actually.
But the one consistency, Chris O'Donnell.
Oh, God. do you know who originally was going to play Robin?
No.
Oh, shoot.
Why did you even bring it up?
One of the Wayans brothers.
Wait, a black guy?
Yeah, because the original Batman Returns movie was going to be very different. It was still going to have Catwoman and the Joker, or the Penguin. But
oh, you're talking the... Was that 89 or the early 90s?
92
one?
Or
3. Okay.
I think it was, because 89 was the first one. Batman Returns with Danny DeVito. It originally was going to be Catwoman and Penguin, and... They were going to introduce Robin, and it was going to be Damon Wayans, I think. One of the Wayans brothers.
Really?
Yeah. And he was going to be Robin.
Interesting.
And then I think Keaton...
How progressive.
I know. But I think Burton was just like, that's too many characters. Like, we already have Catwoman and the...
And the Penguin.
And the Penguin and, right. And all the other ones. And even that movie already is packed enough, probably too much. Has Christopher
Keaton,
Walken in it.
Yeah, I was going to say Keaton, Walken, Michelle Pfeiffer.
Yeah, like it was too packed. And
Danny DeVito.
To me, though, out of the 90s ones, like the Keatons and the Kilmer and the Clooney one, I actually think the Kilmer one's my favorite.
I mean... Yeah, I don't know why.
Like, not necessarily saying that the Keaton ones are bad. Well, the Penguin one is pretty bad.
Yeah.
The first one, I get it's a big deal. It was pretty cool. He does have a great Batmobile.
Mm, classic. The one that everybody had the toy of.
Oh, I still have it, I think, somewhere.
I think one of my nephews has it.
Yeah, I think it's in rough shape, though. But I think it's the Kilmer one is just so fun. It's just...
It's so cheesy.
It's got a nice balance of campiness, but still has some seriousness.
Jim Carrey, Tommy Lee Jones.
Yeah, like...
Jim Carrey was a pretty good Riddler.
Yeah.
He was just the right amount of psychotic for the role,
yeah.
But not for the role because he's a psycho.
Yeah. Oh, have you seen him recently?
Yeah.
He's really gone off the deep end.
He's something.
Did you see the beard he grew?
No.
He grew a giant beard, like down to like just above his tits.
Just above his tits.
And I guess he's kind of like just shied away from the media and stuff like that. He's focusing on his art.
Oh, gotta love those.
Which I don't know if you've seen any of his art. It's pretty crappy.
Oh, you mean actual art?
Like painting. He's a painter.
Oh, that's...
But it's extremely abstract.
That's nice.
Yeah.
That's a good hobby.
And I know art is totally subjective, but I really don't like abstract art.
Does anybody?
Well, no, I know some people that do, and it's unfortunate.
I know the people you're talking about.
Yeah. And hey, if you love it, fill your boots. But to me, I prefer, like, my favorite time period for art is, like, the Renaissance period. I don't know, just like hyper realistic. I know this is going to ruffle some feathers, but I think it takes more skill than just mucking some paint on a canvas. If you have the skill to paint a realistic portrait, that takes a lot more skill than just throwing a bucket of paint.
See, I have the more of the benefit side of things in that I hate all art.
Yeah.
I just think it's useless.
What about music?
Still useless.
Oh, okay.
I like making music. It serves no purpose.
Yeah, it doesn't do anything.
It's actually a very cold opinion of, like, for me to have, being a musician.
And
like,
I'm a photographer.
Yeah. It's like, yeah, honestly, it's like photography. You capture things that are already there. Music. All the notes have been played before. Who cares?
Yeah, and like, I was...
I mean, people only really do it to get chicks.
Exactly. I was reading an article about... talking about some people in the U.S. Yelling at the government to fund more arts and stuff like that.
I think I spilled wine on my shirt.
Oh, God. You drunko. And somebody replied basically saying, you know what? And the person who was yelling at the government to put more money to the arts was actually like a famous actor. somebody replied with, well, why don't you and your actor friends all get together? You make up most of the capital in North America. Why don't you guys all get together and personally fund the arts? Like, you have more money than the government can spare on arts anyways. Why don't you do it if you're so strong about it? You personally fund the arts if you think it's that big of a deal.
They're exactly like Leo DiCaprio. You know, you talk about how much you want to save the environment and you go f***ing private jet all around the world
and go on a big fancy yacht with oil sheiks.
Oil, exactly.
Yeah,
freaking bitch.
Yeah, and it's so
hypocrites.
Yeah, because I would rather see all the government funding go towards education that can be useful.
I'd rather see all government be defunded. Well, like we've had this discussion. My opinions are a little bit extreme, but I believe in an anarcho-capitalist society where people survive on their merits and the government does nothing or doesn't exist, period.
But in the current political climate, wouldn't you say that it would be more beneficial
if destroy it all.
No, if you have to put money into education, shouldn't it be more into functional education than the arts? Because really, what does the arts produce that benefits everybody else?
I mean, it produces money and capital.
Like, but wouldn't you rather educate people to get a real job?
Yeah, but the thing is, because real jobs are so subjective. That's why I really just feel like there should be no government funding in education.
Mm-hmm.
And it's an extreme opinion because the problem is people are so used to it. It's like the government provides education, the Department of Education, Ministry of Education, as it were in Canada. It's like, no, let people decide what they want to learn and pay for it themselves.
So basically all schools just be publicly funded?
No, privately.
Or privately, sorry.
Yeah, I think people should pay for their education 100%.
Yeah.
Because I've told you before, I think publicly funded education is the stupidest thing in the world. It creates debt and doesn't create jobs. And then we have this minimum wage problem that we've, and, you know, we've discussed anyway.
You know what? It also forces teachers to teach things that they necessarily, like, if I was a teacher and, I don't know, I had to teach biology or something like that, some sort of science, and say I had a robust education personally in the science field, and I know more than what the doctrine of the education, what's the word I'm looking for?
The curriculum
states, like, or I'm looking at the curriculum and going, well, this isn't, no, don't teach them this, teach them this, but I, as a teacher, have to teach them that. Like, isn't that kind of restraining teachers from, like, if they're better at teaching one way or another, if they're forced to teach a certain way?
Yeah, I think the world would be greater if people were just kind of taught by individual tutors, or if people
that specialize,
actually, or just picked, like, a la carte. Like, I want, you know, I want this education. I don't care about biology because I'm not going to be a biologist.
Do you think, though, the only reason they do it the way that they do it now is because they think that kids can't make that decision?
Possibly, but that's the problem with creating a society where kids have to make huge life-changing decisions by the age of 17.
I hated,
like,
that.
What, like, the hell did you expect?
As soon as we got into high school, everybody was like, you have to think about college. You have to think about college.
The
I'm
next
like,
4 years.
14.
Yeah, the next 4 years, plan everything accordingly, because in 4 years, you won't know where you'll end up.
Yeah. And
that's,
like,
why I ended up in a business program. Thank God I friggin' actually liked business.
Yeah, and that's where look at where I ended up. I didn't go to college because I found anything that I was remotely interested in was a waste of money.
Mm-hmm.
Because,
well, case in point, I like business. I think a business education is a waste of money.
Because you can just learn everything.
Yeah,
yourself.
Learned on the spot. 3 months in, you're good.
Well, and the times that you've told me that when you've taken other courses, you were just relearning things you've already learned.
Yeah, college was a rehash of high school. University was a rehash of college, which was a rehash of high school.
But you had to get those little letters at the
end
of your name.
I actually took the same program in university that I took in college, which was a business simulation that, of course, I scored 100% on because I already took the course.
But you know what? There are some really dumb people out there, because you said that even in your university course, there were some really... thick people.
Thick is an understatement. They were retarded.
That they just, you couldn't grasp how they even got out of
life?
High school. Yeah. Like, could I have made them look stupid when it came to business?
Absolutely.
Yeah. And I don't just even have a business education.
The ignorance is just, it's confounding.
Is it just that society has such a lack of common sense nowadays?
Drop my pencil.
Oh my God, that's 3 times in one episode.
Oh, well.
But do you think that society has just created a bunch of people with a lack of common sense?
I don't think society. I think the natural IQ is pretty low to begin with.
Yeah.
Like, well, that's going to sound slightly arrogant. But the natural IQ is 100 to 110. I think that's pretty low.
Yeah. I you know what? I've never done an IQ test. So I don't even know what mine would be at.
I've done many. I don't, like, actually, it's not like
I hear they're not extremely accurate. Like, you take it with a grain of salt.
They're accurate, but it doesn't actually predict how one will succeed, because logic, quote unquote, doesn't necessarily, like, I have a above average IQ, but that just means I recognize patterns very well.
Yeah.
But it doesn't necessarily mean I'm going to function well in society,
yeah,
because there's certain constraints that logic... You know, there are certain things that logic doesn't govern, like the fact that most people are dumb.
Yeah.
I'm so smart that I can't function in a dumb society.
And that's the thing, like, there can be absolute geniuses out there, but if they don't know how to socially function, then they're not going to make a living.
Because the world be dumb.
Yeah. You know what? That's what we've learned in this episode.
The world be dumb.
That's the name of the episode. And on that note... I've been Justin.
I've been Tommy.
Thanks for listening.
Bye-bye.
Brain Sandwich is produced and edited by us, Tommy and Justin.
If you want to hear more episodes, check out our website at brainsamich.com. That's brainsamich.com.
You'll be able to find links to our social pages such as Twitter and Facebook. So come say hi. We always reply.
Also, remember to give us a review on iTunes. It helps out the show a lot and we really appreciate it.
Lastly, if you want to listen to special unaired or hidden episodes of Brain Sandwich, you can sign up for our free mailing list on our site. We'll also be giving away exclusive perks and rewards.